It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome in, everyone, and we are today broadcasting live from the center of the universe, which is Radio Row here in Phoenix, which is proving to be a great host town. I'm David Gao. Carla Dawson next to me. I'm the boss. She's the gloss. Carla, welcome to Phoenix.
Oh, I am loving me some Phoenix. We've been here a little less than 24 hours. People are so kind. The weather's amazing. We had a really fun media party last night out at some kind of farm, like cool sustainable farm thing, s'mores. We met all kinds of people. Everyone's nice in Phoenix.
Well, for the record, they're all nice to Carla. They endure me, but they do love you. They've welcomed you here, and you had an amazing media event last night. It's always interesting the way that the host committees of these Super Bowl teams plan it out. Clearly they want to have a great big party, a fun event for the media, so the media will do what we're doing right now, which is say what a great town this is, what a great host city Phoenix is for the Super Bowl.
But you know what's fun, too, that I realized last night? They were busing us back and forth to this very cool venue. Everybody's talking sports. Like, this is my dream, to be somewhere where everyone that is surrounding you is talking sports. My husband's getting a nice couple-day break from me, for sure, but this is fun.
I remember that for those who didn't know, so we got onto the bus. It was filled with a bunch of mostly male sports media personalities.
I was the only estrogen on that bus.
And it was almost like she dove in a crowd and she was crowd surfing. Carla jumped in on top of everyone and they passed her around talking sports.
Yeah, you know. Princess of Darkness will do anything for sports, right?
Well, so the Princess of Darkness, Carla Dawson, the gloss here on Radio Row. And there's a big buzz here. Obviously, lots of media outlets. And this is the week, of course, when athletes go booth to booth to booth. And we've got our own great lineup of guests. And next segment.
And we've got Ron Culver, the producer.
Ron Culver, extraordinaire. Next segment, we're going to have Bobby Okereke join us. He's the linebacker of the Colts. He had a great season this past season playing for a team that did not have such a good season. So we're going to get to hear from him. And I'm really eager to ask him about the arrival of Jeff Saturday and what a strange change that was. What did the players feel in the locker room when the whole world outside was saying this was a ridiculous hire, an ill-equipped coach, and yet the team then needed to come out and play?
But let me tell you, you can actually thank my Las Vegas Raiders for Jeff Saturday's debut. He was an analyst on Tuesday.
Yes.
A head coach on Wednesday. Faced the Raiders on, I believe it might have even been Thursday Night Football, and get a win. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started. It was a pretty start, and it ended kind of ugly. But Jeff Saturday is in contention, in very high running, to be possibly the next permanent head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, we shall see that. Yeah, the Colts still looking for a head coach. The Cardinals still looking for a head coach. We're here in Phoenix, and there's a lot of talk about what will the Cardinals do. There just aren't a lot of great big-name coaching candidates still available. I mean, a guy like Sean Payton's off the board. D'Amico Ryan's going to the Texans. Cardinals, Colts, the pickings, I think, are pretty slim right now.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know the Eagles coordinators, Eric Bieniemy, Spagnuolo with the Chiefs. I mean, what will happen after the Super Bowl,
right,
when these guys can actually interview? And
yep,
maybe that's what Arizona is hanging on for, because here they are. They're at the center of the football world, and maybe they feel they have a leg up and getting to having these guys right here,
right here
in their city.
To your point, I mean, it's a strange moment because everyone has descended upon Phoenix for celebrating football, and the hometown team here, the Cardinals, are really at a big low point. We were talking to Howard Balzer offline yesterday, and he was noting they don't have a GM, they don't have a head coach, and there are real questions about their quarterback. Kyler Murray not likely to play again until midway through next year. He's recovering from the ACL injury. DeAndre Hopkins likely to walk this year. This Cardinals team feels like they're in a major rebuild mode.
But you know what? I respect ownership for cleaning it out and starting over. Honestly, they do. The other piece I wish they would clean out is Kyler Murray. Unless that guy figures out that film is important and you can't play Xbox on your, you know, whatever you do on your iPad. I mean, come on.
He's so good at it, though.
Well, you know, how's that translating for him? That's what I want to know.
Well, they may well have a complete rebuild. Kyler Murray may not be that future, but how disappointing is that? Because remember, it wasn't that long ago they drafted Josh Rosen, number 3 overall, and they thought he was the guy, and then they punted when they brought in Cliff Kingsbury, and he said, no, the guy I want is Kyler Murray. So lots of turmoil with
the
Cardinals.
And what you bring up is very key. This is a franchise that drafted Josh Rosen. I'm a Pac-12 girl. I did not see Josh Rosen going. He was more famous for having a hot tub in his freshman dorm at UCLA than what he did on the field, to be honest.
And just for the record, no one has a problem with that. I mean, that's okay.
Spoken like a true man, right?
Thank you, yes.
There we go.
I can speak for manhood on that one.
But and also, you know, you look at the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury.
Like, yes.
Super great guy. But you can you tell me, shed some light, David, for me, what did he do to earn a head coaching job in the NFL? Take me back to Texas Tech. What are you seeing?
Well, a losing record in college football is the number one qualification to be a head coach in the NFL. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I think that whoever's making those decisions in Arizona, it was good for them to clean it out, start afresh. They're stuck with Murray's contract. They gave him that big fat one. Because he kind of did the one he did in Ezekiel Elliott and wasn't, you know, whiny, got it, and now he needs to make good on it. After he recovers, you can't do anything with a torn ACL, that's for sure. But
so one thing is we feel, I mean, here in Radio Row, we're in the center of the universe.
Lots of energy. I'm loving it.
I noted for the several days of prep for your coming here, you went on what you might describe as a darkness retreat?
Yeah.
You went off on a darkness retreat, spent some time figuring out, did you want to come forth again and be on the high stage of Radio Row?
Yes, I did a baton handoff to Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
Oh, so he's now on the darkness retreat.
He's now on the darkness retreat.
All right, for those who don't know, Aaron Rodgers says he's going off on a darkness retreat to figure out his future. Tell me, Carla, because
I am the Princess of Darkness, and I don't want him going to my Princess of Darkness team.
Well, listen, it may well be
it
when
probably
he comes
is
out
where
of his darkness
going.
Retreat, that was a way he could sort of signal to his people that he's going to end up with the Raiders. But what does it mean? What is he going to do on a darkness retreat? Have you ever heard that term? And is this just something that came out of Aaron Rodgers?
You know what?
I'm enabling you to speak for Aaron Rodgers and explain all things Aaron.
Oh, well, then I might need some drugs if I'm going to speak through his mouthpiece. Let me tell you that the sound bites that we have had from Aaron Rodgers over the past basically 2 years, he's estranged from his family. No one knows why, but maybe we're kind of seeing why. He can't hold a girlfriend in Olivia Wilde, Danica Patrick, Shailene Woodley. I mean, some of them were even fiancés. I don't know how many of them. Can't hold on to that. Can't hold on to his number one receiver. Can't hold on to the loyalty of the Green Bay franchise. I think they are even getting tired of all of this. So I don't know what he thinks a darkness retreat is going to do. It's just another bit of semantics for him to say, I've got the power. I've got $50 million. I'm set to make another $60 million. I can do whatever the heck I want and just tag everyone by my tail. It's fine. That's what I think this darkness retreat is about.
Well, so many off-season
shock factor. He's shock and awe. That's what he's doing.
Aaron Rodgers is a nutcase, wildly talented, obviously, but it is interesting. I really think this is the year that he will be leaving the Packers. I know it's been rumored the past two off-seasons. I think this off-season it will happen, and it probably means he'll end up with either the Jets or he'll end up with the Raiders. I mean, one of those two teams I have to envision. Ryan Leaf just came over to the set, put a big face in our set. Ryan Leaf is a monster of a man.
And he's looking svelte.
When he came over and
those
towered over his long shadow over there, I was a little worried for you, but it was Ryan and he was friendly. Okay, but do you really see it coming down? If he leaves do you want him for the Raiders? You're a Raiders fan. Would you want that talent, yet distraction, and that kind of personality? He would be reunited with Devontae Adams. You could plug him right in. Those would have a wide receiver quarterback combination that would be perhaps the best in the league.
No, I don't. And the reason I don't, the talent of Aaron Rodgers, is that my question? Absolutely not. But, you know, he's regular season Rodgers. And that's what we've seen for the past several seasons.
It's been a long time since he won that Super Bowl.
I mean, regular season, smegular season. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to me. I want to see what's happening in the playoffs. Dare I say, and we'll get into it later, the Raiders went to the playoffs last year amidst John Gruden's racial mess, a murder, and the loss of their number one receiver. how many coaches iterations have they gone through and went to the playoffs? This year they have more pieces, less distractions, and it's been a disaster. So I'm mad at the Raiders and how they've treated Derek Carr, disrespected him. I'm okay if you want to move on from him. Do it in the right way. So for that reason, I'm being a baby about it. I don't want Aaron Rodgers in Las Vegas because I want Josh McDaniels to feel the sting of the decisions he's making because I think they're bonehead. I don't like it.
I guess to your point, if you were Josh McDaniels and you get Aaron Rodgers on that team by hook or by crook, obviously by giving up a ton of draft picks to get him and a ton of money, that team will, though, be immediately relevant and almost certainly a playoff team. Now, Rodgers hadn't had much success in the playoffs in the last few years, but that would certainly put McDaniels and the Raiders in the playoffs, and that's the titillating opportunity there.
Well, I think what you brought up is really important as far as it would take a bevy of draft picks to get Aaron Rodgers and a lot to absorb that huge fat contract of his. The Raiders are in desperate need of building up that defense. And because of salary cap and because of Aaron Rodgers' salary, they would have to do it through the draft. So you're shooting yourself in the foot. Offense is not the Raiders' problem. They lost five double-digit leads. They were up 17-3 on the Chiefs in Arrowhead. And Josh McDaniels did an un-Bill Belichick in all of those games, went into halftime and couldn't adjust. In fact, de-adjusted. I don't know how it happened, but lost. And that was the same amount of games, double-digit games, that they won the year before under the John Gruden, Rick Bisaccia situation. So I think that's a dangerous place to be because they really need a defense. That defense can't stop anybody.
Well, Josh McDaniels had a tough track record as a Denver Broncos head coach. Now off to a bad start with L.A. The question, of course, is he really head coach material or is he just a quality coordinator?
I vote no.
Yeah. Well, that will be seen soon. We'll be right back. You've been listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Boss in the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. I am the boss, David Gao, Carla Dawson, the Gloss, and we are at the center of the universe here at Radio Row in Phoenix, where the Super Bowl will be played this Sunday. And Carla, I'm getting a lot of text in questions about you, and I guess I'd like to...
It's probably from Josh McDaniels' PR team.
They're all,
calling for my head.
After you've been calling for Josh McDaniels to be eradicated from your beloved Raiders, everyone's up in arms. But no, the texts are coming in. I guess I'll frame it up. I'll ask you this, two questions, and you can only offer yes or no answers.
That's hard for me, just period.
On the first one, yes or no. Have you seen the picture of Tom Brady in his underwear?
Yes.
And have you watched it more... Or less, have you gone to look at it more or less than 100 times?
Less.
Just a few under 100, but the constant refreshing.
You've seen
refreshing
it more than me. You're the one who showed me the light there. I didn't have any idea.
Does he look good in his underwear?
I'm taking the fifth. I mean, it's Tom Brady. But you know what? His look is so different.
Tell me.
To me, the past 22 seasons.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, that guy, he just looks like an athlete. Like, wow, so impressive what he's done from his former NFL draft day bod to the last 22 years. But year 23, I told you at the beginning of the season, I was like, ooh, he looks like a supermodel. This is crazy. So he's channeling his inner Giselle, whether he's with her or not. It's a different look. It's a different look. So maybe he was already sunsetting to what his next career is going to be in the booth in 2024, and
we all know he's going to be a sports media personality. He's got to shine with his look is more important than his play on the field.
He had the look.
He had the look.
As does our next guest have the look. I'm telling you
Here comes a handsome man wearing more than just Tom Brady underwear, though. just to be clear to everyone who cannot see him, he is fully dressed. He is Bobby Okereke. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Nice to meet you. Yes, sir.
Outstanding linebacker
Bobby,
for the Colts.
Bobby, good to see you. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
She's Carla. I'm David.
And we're super happy that you're here.
Yeah, glad to meet you guys. Happy to be here, too.
Yeah.
So love to talk to you about the Colts. I mean, what a sort of strange season from afar, but yeah. You were in the room. You can tell us how it all went down. Starting the season with Frank Reich and seemingly all the pieces there, but lacking a quarterback Matt Bryan brought in to be that quarterback, and then things really didn't go as planned. Walk us through what that was like.
Yeah, just a lot of, I guess, unforeseen struggles. Run game, which has always been a staple for us, wasn't as productive early on. Protecting the quarterback, they say it takes all 11 guys on offense, and that was a struggle for us early on as well. Tough for us to be productive offensively. Had a pretty unfortunate stretch of losses, and then, the front office made the decision to end up firing Coach Reich. And, I love Jeff Saturday. I thought he brought great energy, brought great accountability. He was like a Pro Bowl player, team captain for a long time, so he understands how to be leader of men. It's just an unfortunate, situation to come into. As a head coach, you want to instill values, principles, and it's hard to do that midway through the season, especially when the team's already losing.
We're talking to Bobby Okereke of the Colts, the outstanding linebacker, drafted in 2019. That was the question I've been dying to ask you. When it was announced that Jeff Saturday would be the head coach, all of the external world, the media, the talking heads, the chirping was, this is the craziest thing that's ever happened. And yet, there you were in that locker room, and in walked this man. You probably hadn't even met him before, probably didn't know him very well. Walked this man, you have this public perception and criticism, but the internal reality is we now got to get going here. What was that disconnect like, and how did you guys manage that as a team?
Yeah, he understood the situation. Like, he's got to come in and gain our trust. So that's what he did. He really explained who he was as a player. He was an undrafted guy, first one in, last one out type of guy in the building. And he said, that's how I'm going to coach. I'm going to coach you guys hard with no excuses. And from a player's perspective, obviously with all this adversity going on, you want to have the mindset, of adapt and overcome. And, for the team to have the best chance of winning, like, you have to embrace this guy as your coach and really just bring everyone together. So I thought we did a great job of that. Older guys and veteran leadership, kind of led the way. And, we did what we could in the midst of all those circumstances. Yeah.
Well, Bobby, clearly you are a Stanford grad. You are so smart. You're so intelligent. You get emotionally everything. You get it. You can thank me later because I am a cradle Raiders girl. And we handed you your first victory with no problem. I don't think it was 48 hours for Jeff Saturday to go from the booth to the sideline. And I'm like, dang it, Raiders. You're really going to be that much of a gift giver for the Colts.
And she's still upset about this.
I'm still upset about it, but I'm happy for you.
A very
you're a
hot
great
start
guy.
For us, yeah.
And I have to say, it's so fun to watch the Colts on Sunday because reading your name, no one could pronounce it. But I don't know if you know. It is said so often because you are such a star.
Thank you.
Okereke this, Bobby Okereke that. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. Talk about going from, you came from college football at Stanford under David Shaw, whom I adore. Mm-hmm. The Pac-12 is not the SEC. It doesn't get that same love. It's going to start getting it if it's the last thing I have to do about it.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
How was your transition from Stanford and a good program, but not a championship program at that time, to the big, bad world, the big, fast, speedy, smart world of the NFL?
Yeah, it was a quick transition. I was very fortunate to have a great defensive coordinator and a great linebacker coach and Matt Eberflus and Dave Borgonzi. Obviously, they're in Chicago now, hoping to have a lot of success. But they did a really good job of, just bringing me along, teaching me how to play with intensity and play with speed. And I also had really great guys in my position group, Darius Leonard, Shaquille Leonard now, and Anthony Walker. Both of those guys did an amazing job just bringing me along. And really teaching me, how to play the game mentally and physically. So, much respect to them for bringing me along. And, a lot of stuff that I play with today, I learned from them.
That's amazing. And you know what? That's a good – you set a really good example for this next draft class that's coming in. Like, don't dismiss the guys before you.
Not
I mean,
at
look
all.
At Pat Mahomes sitting underneath Alex Smith for basically an entire season. Do you know, you also saw, too, Bobby, this season, the rise and fall. I bet it was really interesting to watch Matty Ice and how he navigated. I mean, he is a NFL MVP.
Yep.
He's been to the Super Bowl. He's, you know, been through it all. Like, just such an incredible. He seems like a workhorse. He had a crazy peak and valley season. And to see someone seasoned, how did he handle it, and how did that speak to the rest of you all?
Yeah, he's just, people say, like, he's perennial pro, but, you know, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. I mean, he comes in from day one, and he's a guy that, you know, can lead the troops, and, you know, anybody on the team is going to want to go to war with him. And, you know, obviously, just, you know, circumstances, had some, you know, performances not up to his standard. But, yeah, especially, you know, when Coach Reich ended up benching him and, you know, Sam was named the quarterback, and then Jeff came in and said, okay, Matt, you're the starting quarterback again, and all those changes.
That's a lot.
He really didn't flinch. He's a guy, you know, he had his same process of preparation throughout the whole week, and he kept that mentorship role, whether it was for guys in the offense or the quarterbacks or the defensive guys. You know, he was really one of our strongest leaders on the team, and, you know, I gained a lot of respect for him.
Well, that's great.
We're talking outstanding linebacker of the Colts, Bobby Okereke. So we've only got about 2 minutes before we got to go to break, but I want to ask you, when you look around the league at top linebackers, who impresses you? Who do you look at and say, yeah, that's a guy I really respect and think I want to play like him?
Yeah, Fred Warner.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
He's a stud. You know, just really dominant in the Mike linebacker position, holding down the middle. Roquan Smith, very instinctual, very athletic linebacker. And then, obviously, Shaquille Leonard. I think, you know, when he's healthy, he's the best linebacker in football. He makes tackles all over the field, and he takes the ball away. So he's very productive.
Okay, I got about 30 seconds. I want to ask you, your pick this week, who do you see winning the big game?
I got the Eagles. I think they're a very complete team. I got some buddies on that team as well. But, you know, I think them and Nick Sirianni will get the win.
Well, see, you won Carla's heart right there because she's seeing Eagles all the way.
I have. I've followed Jalen Hurts since high school. I love his story. I love what they're doing. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Let's fly, Eagles, fly.
Well, we shall see. All right. He is Bobby Okereke. Bobby, really appreciate your coming by, and best of luck to you in your career and
keep
the Colts.
Killing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Hope you guys get it going.
If I have any time, I just want to shout out Callie Strong. This brand I'm wearing, it's a female-owned brand by Jennifer Archiveria. She's in San Diego, and they have one of the best product lines, really just supporting kids and supporting military. So they're a great brand in Orange County, San Diego. So shout out to them.
Well, I saw that, and I'm a Cali girl. I'm going to grab some of that.
That's Cali
that's
strong.
Good looking.
Thank you, Bobby Okereke.
Yeah, take care. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back. You've been listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
In the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
This week's Radio Row coverage from the Phoenix Convention Center is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more and go to progressive.com. Progressive.com. All right, we are back at Radio Row. Carla Dawson, David Gao here with you. And it was really fun to sit down and talk to Bobby Okereke, the outstanding linebacker for the Colts, and really to hear what it was like to be in the locker room when they made the transition from Frank Reich to Jeff Saturday was really interesting. It obviously was tough because the external word was that this was an idiotic move and Jeff Saturday was unqualified. But he did say Saturday came into that locker room with a real presence, and it sounds like they felt they could rally around Jeff Saturday and play their hearts out.
Well, it was such an up-and-down season, which seems to be very characteristic of AFC South teams. Think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson to Trevor Lawrence looking like a disaster to Trevor Lawrence being a Pro Bowler.
Yep.
Think about the Texans.
Well, that's just down, down, down. That's not up and down. Maybe they'll come back up this year.
Yes, the D'Amico Ryans hire outstanding. And then you look at Indianapolis. They went from Frank Reich, Super Bowl winning coach, to Jeff Saturday, an analyst in the booth. They went from Matty Ice, an NFL MVP, to being benched for Sam Ehlinger, who came out of the University of Texas and was a third-round draft pick maybe. I mean, the ups and downs of that. And then Tennessee, who was supposed to be winning the AFC South and didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, it's what a crazy division. I mean, if you want to win, go to the AFC South.
And a little bit of that's the NFL, too. I mean, even coming into that season last year, the NFC least was the mantra. And then they actually, most of those teams did pretty darn well.
Well, very true. And then the AFC West was supposed to be murderer's row, and that ended up being Denver and Las Vegas, the biggest disappointments ever.
Yes.
Chargers, too, honestly.
It's always goes back to what you think you know isn't always right, but we'll see.
I think it's been one of the most unpredictable, to me, NFL seasons in my life this past year. Crazy.
Going back to Bobby Okereke, it was interesting. He is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And given the turbulence with the Colts, they still don't have a head coach. I sensed he might want to look around and certainly see what other opportunities are there. Frank Reich, his former coach, has now taken a job with the Panthers. Matt Eberflus is defensive coordinator now with the Bears.
He really loved.
And he must have loved playing for him. He did speak about that. So, yeah, the Bears would certainly be a good target location for him.
And they've got cap space, a lot of cap space.
Yeah, well, that's a good linebacker hitting the market. And the free agent realm of offseason, really look forward to seeing that. It's sort of interesting. Everybody's accumulating lists right now of the top NFL free agents. You can see the list, and they're stack ranked. But that list will change, obviously, because some of these guys will be taken off the market by a franchise tag or a signing of a deal. Not all those names will actually end up being available.
Right.
No, it'll be fun to see, though.
Yeah.
In fact, just thinking about one position, I was looking the other day at the top running backs who are available. And, well, one of yours from the Raiders, Josh Jacobs, is a hot commodity. Now, he is a guy who could get tagged. So when we look at the current free agent list, just in the running back position, you've got guys like Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Kareem Hunt, and Saquon Barkley. I mean, some marquee names.
Wow.
Although I think several of those will not actually hit the open market. You see the Raiders tagging Josh Jacobs. I mean, so interesting, of course. Jacobs drafted in the first round, so they had the right to exercise the fifth-year option. That was the
best draft that Gruden and Mayock did. Best draft pick. That's really the only one that really worked out.
Yeah, because that draft, they had three picks. Mm-hmm. In the first round, and Jacobs was the one that really did resonate and do well, but they didn't exercise his fifth-year option as a rookie and a first-year pick. So they've got to sign him. I mean, he's now wildly available. He's open to anybody, unrestricted free agent. But the Raiders can tag him here. Do you see them tagging Josh Jacobs?
I could see them doing that, yes, because I don't have faith in that organization from Mark Davis on down. I don't. And I think it was an interesting move. Josh Jacobs is 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? That is so young.
After finishing 4 years in the league, that's right.
Exactly. And I think that he felt disrespected with the Raiders not picking up his fifth-year option. Now, he was coming off an injury-filled year, but you have to look at what he had done the previous three. And what did he do? He came out this past season and became the league's top rusher. I mean, period. He lost 10 pounds. He didn't miss a single game. He led the league in rushing with 1,653 yards, which averages about 5 yards a carry.
Hmm.
I mean, and they're in the AFC West, which for the most part has good defense. He got a career-high 400 yards receiving, and then he was a great blocking and pass protection. I mean, they're crazy if they don't sign him to an extension or whatever it is now. I guess it would be a longer-term deal because he's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, so in my head, the way I think about running backs now is I hate to ever reward someone with a second large contract as a running back. The Cowboys made that mistake with Zeke Elliott. Certainly other teams have made that mistake. And that's what this would be. Now, he's a young player for a second contract, as you noted, 25. Sometimes you have to look at the wear and tear, how many carries that a running back had. Cowboys have this similar decision with Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard now, assuming he's 100% healthy after the injury against the 49ers, Tony Pollard, a key part of their offense, is an unrestricted free agent. They can tag him, but I would hate to have them make the mistake that they made with Elliott, which is to sign him to a four-year deal at top-of-the-line dollars, second-year running backs, second contract running backs, typically don't work out in the back half of that contract. So this position, the running back position, strikes me as perfect for the franchise tag for two reasons. One is it only locks you in for another year there. And second, the dollar level on a franchise tag of running back is a little lighter than a lot of positions. So it's about $10 million to franchise tag a running back. And that's very reasonable relative to, say, doing a franchise tag on a wide receiver or quarterback where you're talking tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. So I really see the tag as a great move for, say, the Cowboys with Pollard or Jacobs with the Raiders. It'll be really interesting to watch.
Jacobs' quote is, being franchise tag is going from hero to villain.
Well,
he didn't like it. Now, of course he doesn't like it.
No, running backs really shouldn't like it. They're set up in a tough spot, right?
Yeah,
they play
are.
There 4 years. They get beat up on their rookie contract. And frankly, they're not getting paid as much on their rookie contract. Obviously, it depends on where you're drafted.
Yeah, he was like 23, 24, something like that.
Okay, so he had first-round money, but
he was
late
the only running back taken in the first round.
And then you sit at the end of the 4 years, and you're begging for a long-term second deal, and everyone's going to be reluctant to give it. And then the tag just binds you for 1 year, and then you've got to prove it all over again. And you can almost go year to year to year with these guys. And so that's, I think, where that running back position is going to evolve.
Well, I think that's true. Here's where I would disagree with you. I would not compare Josh Jacobs to Ezekiel Elliott, because Ezekiel Elliott did get rewarded for a long-term contract after he became a big fat baby and went to Cabo and forgot, you know, he left training camp, wouldn't show up to training camp. I mean, he boycotted and then went down to Cabo and said he was training in the sand. Yeah, training for what in the sand? So Josh Jacobs, on the other hand, is, you know, a little disrespect, not picking up that fifth-year option. And instead of hanging his head low and saying, I'm not showing up at your camp unless you give me a deal. And this is a new regime with Josh Jacobs and Dave Ziegler in the house. He showed up, not only showed up, had his best season ever, you know, NFL rushing leader. So I would say I totally understand and agree with you about the trickiness of extending a long-term, you know, second contracts for running backs. Both Josh Jacobs and Ezekiel Elliott have handled it, their situations.
No, totally differently.
Markedly differently. And Ezekiel Elliott did it before his fifth year option.
Yo, he didn't even wait until he was
It was like third year or something.
Right. After the end of his third season.
Yeah.
And rookies are going to increasingly do that.
Sure.
Which is a problematic thing for the league, frankly.
And you see what he's done since then.
Oh, yeah.
Nada.
So, no, Elliott is not justified that second contract.
Oh, gosh.
And the prospects of his return at the Dallas really would depend upon his taking a significant pay cut now. And so that's very much in flux. But the other running back I really wanted to get to, because he's in an analogous position with Josh Jacobs, is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Now, Barkley had lots of injuries early in this contract, but this year he played at a high level. And he, too, had a first-round draft pick. The Giants had an opportunity to exercise the fifth-year option. The Giants did not do that. So he's at the end of his 4 years, and the Giants have a decision to make on him. Again, if I were the Giants, I'd look hard at offering the franchise tag on Saquon Barkley.
Well, you know, what you brought up, which is so true, is how much time he missed because of injuries in his first several years. I think that actually makes him more valuable, because while the Giants were in an absolute debacle of a team and getting beat up right and left, he was getting stronger. He wasn't out there taking all those hits. You know, his legs are being saved, and he's come back and had this amazing season when they have a coach that's putting them on the right trajectory in Brian Daboll. They've got Daniel Jones, who, you know, you and I were at the draft where he was drafted, and there was a collective, what when he was taken number 6 overall. Thank you, Dave Gettleman. But he's improved. I mean, so I think Saquon Barkley has, his injuries have timed him out beautifully for this next situation.
He's got more carries underneath
yeah.
him. All right, we will be right back. We're at Radio Row. It's the Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
The Boss in the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network. Live from Radio Row in Arizona, ahead of the big game, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from Radio Row in the Phoenix Convention Center, and we are joined now on set by Bob Parsons, who is an iconic businessman, founder of GoDaddy, and the founder and CEO of PXG Golf Clubs, which are extraordinary clubs. I understand they can really elevate your game, and they're custom fitted, and you've got some technology in them. What makes PXG Golf Clubs so exceptional?
Well, number one, the technology that we use, we're the only guys that have it. And what we do is most of our cavities filled with this ionomer. And what it does is it enables us to use the thinnest face in golf, which does about six things. And one of them is it launches high, goes further, stops quicker. It is more accurate. Mm. It is soft. It feels like butter on a hot biscuit.
Yeah. Nice.
It's just a beautiful thing.
I have to say, I need to ask you this. We're talking to Bob Parsons of PXG Golf Clubs. When I heard, okay, there's a next generation golf club coming out like PXG that with user technology totally enhanced the performance of the club, my reaction was, golf has been around forever. How can there be another wave of innovation? Well, what gave you that inspiration where you saw this and you said, this is something we can build the whole business around?
Well, yeah, that happened in 2013. I started it with a fellow from joined me. He was one of the senior engineers at Ping. And then we had a couple other guys do it. And we had to wait a year. They had a agreement not to compete.
A non-compete,
and in Arizona,
sure,
That's enforceable.
Yeah.
So we did all sorts of other stuff, like trying to figure out how far you could hit a golf ball with a frying pan on the end of a six-foot pipe or off a three-foot tee. The answer is about close to 400 yards.
Hmm.
Stuff like that. So anyhow, and then once we got going, we just kept trying different things. And the whole idea was that I posed to them was, if you had as much time as you needed, because I asked them, you know, why don't your clubs get much better every year? They said, we're under time constraints. We got price points we need to meet, that sort of thing. And so I said, you know, if you had all the time you needed and you had the money you need, could you make something truly exceptional? And they'd say, boy, we'd sure like to try. Mm. Well, the answer to that is yes. And so that's PXG.
And they did more than try. They did it.
Yeah, they sure did it. And, you know, I can still remember the day they came to me and they said, Bob, we had a breakthrough. What a breakthrough it was. I mean,
that's amazing.
It is something that we use in most of our products, and it's just nothing like hitting one of our clubs.
And it's on the tour now. It's on the PGA Tour. We've got people using it.
It's on every tour. We've won multiple times on every tour.
Live Golf as well?
Excuse me?
Live Golf as well? The Saudi Tour, are they over there yet?
You know, I'm not too keen on that.
I'm not either, Bob.
We'll just let that go.
Okay.
I fought with the Marine Corps during the Vietnam mm-hmm. War, was wounded in it and so forth, and I've got this old idea of patriotism. So I'm just sitting back and not jumping into that.
Preach. I love it. That's a great stand to take.
We're talking to Bob Parsons, PXG Golf Club CEO and founder. But let's shift to some football, if we could. You're here for the big game. I understand you're a big Ravens fan.
I am.
Ravens, heck of a team. Obviously did not get it done down the stretch. Lamar Jackson's status now, a pivotal question in the offseason. What should happen with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this year?
You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, they have a disagreement which really centers around the length of the contract they're going to give him, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, if he gets hurt anytime, they still pay the contract. You know, I think that, and I could be wrong on this, but if the club wants 3 years, Lamar wants five or six, and how they work it out, I don't know. The only thing I know for sure is next year they'll have a quarterback,
right,
and they'll be back at it again.
Right.
Well, you know, Bob, so you're an amazing innovator, entrepreneur, all the things. Do you think Lamar would be better served having representation? He represents himself, he and his mother. And while there's something to be said for that, like you're there, you're in all the negotiations and all, that's not his level of expertise. His level of expertise is what he does on the field and brings to the field. So, A, do you think he should get representation outside of himself? And, B, do you think being the league MVP kind of deserves him a longer look from the Ravens, a longer contract.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Here's what I'll tell you. I deal with a lot of agents.
Sure.
And most of them are knuckleheads. All right? And it'd be...
I love the truth serum.
Everybody
awesome.
Be better served just dealing direct with the player if the player had any idea how to negotiate. And I think Lamar represents himself well. So I don't have an issue with it one way or the other. Of course, I'm not trying to cut a deal with him either.
Right.
We're talking to Bob Parsons of PXG Golf.
Yes,
want to ask
I love
you about
that.
This. Apparently, at one point, you had a thought that you'd love to buy an NFL franchise, and you have the means. I don't. I'd like to buy an NFL franchise, too. But when you thought about buying an NFL franchise and you're looking at owners of teams, are there owners whom you would highlight and think that's the right model? I mean, there are obviously highly interventionist owners, hands-off owners, all kinds of different owners' profiles there. What kind of owner would you be and why?
Well, I would be slightly hands-off. I wouldn't be as hands-on as, say, Jerry Jones. And I wouldn't be as hands-off as – I don't even know who to use.
Yeah, because they're so hands-off, we don't know about
there.
Them. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the people you surround yourself with, your general manager, your coach, and others, you know, are going to make the team.
Right.
And they're the guys that you have to spend the time with, guys or the gals. You have to spend
trust
time
your
with,
hires,
and they're the ones that are going to make it happen or not make it happen.
Yep.
So that's
you're
that's
so
where the
right.
nut cutting happens.
Is the idea of your buying an NFL franchise still a thought to you? Is that still a possibility that you would chase that opportunity?
You know, maybe. Yeah, I'd also like to be king. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think
you are in many circles, Bob. So
I don't think that's going to happen,
right.
David, Carla.
I've got one I would really like you to buy. We're based out of Houston. Oh, my goodness. We would really love you to buy the Texans. They need some help. You're so smart. You're so savvy. I think you would just be. You'd turn that place around in a minute.
You know, there was a time when I was looking at that. You know, I never really got into any negotiations or anything, you know, along those lines. But I was thinking about Cleveland, you know, when they went the second year
sure.
with no wins. I thought, that is my team.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
See the opportunity.
And that's, you know, that's the type of thing that attracts me. But it never happened. And instead, I bought a golf course.
You did. Tell us about your golf course.
And that golf course
here
now
in Phoenix.
Is Scottsdale National. And it is... pretty exceptional place.
Oh.
It's got 45 holes, two 18s and a 9. We have only one rule, and that rule is no member shall get in the way of another member's good time. That's it. Mm. Other
okay.
than that,
I
you
really
do whatever
want you to run the Texans.
Yeah. So anyhow, I bought Scottsdale National. I put $330 million into it.
Oh, my
And I'll
gosh.
Tell you what, you know, that's my happy place. And the people that are members, that's their happy place, too.
Well, I bet. I mean, that's in a game that has a lot of rules and a lot of etiquette. It sounds like the members you have, they understand what golf is, and they only need your one rule of don't get in the way
one
of fun.
Rule,
I love
it.
Okay, talk about the growth of golf, because I saw yesterday that the PGA named Steph Curry their golf ambassador. And I think it is so fascinating, and I think it's such a wonderful move because he is so beloved, and he's obviously at the top of his sport in the NBA and an avid golfer like yourself and so passionate. And he's done so much for the game with HBCUs and really getting golf through Under Armour and things like that, getting golf in so that it's available to everybody. Talk about what you see with growth in the game of golf.
Well, it's a great big question. However, he's only got about 15 seconds to answer that great question. But I'd love to hear your thought.
Okay. Well, if I got 15 seconds, I'm going to tell you, golf had a boom with COVID
yep.
when it was the only thing to do.
Yep.
And right now we're coming down off that boom, and the industry is somewhat, I think it's down about 30%. Maybe 40, depending on who the company is. It's literally on its tail. So we're going to see where it's going to go. But
if you're involved, I feel good about it, Bob.
He's Bob yeah. Parsons of PXG Golf. Check out his golf clubs, Bob. Really appreciate your coming by.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
All right. We launched our first golf ball yesterday, the PXG Extreme Premium Golf Ball. And this ball outperforms everything.
You heard it from the CEO.
Okay, where do we get it, Bob?
Bob Parsons, right, thanks so much.
Online or at any PXG store.
Okay, I'm on it.
Great to be with you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, my pleasure.